Saying right there, I like it. All right. Everybody all right?
Pastor, I just want to say anything.
He's talking there about the potter. What's he add when he uses that clay? Adds a little bit of water, a little bit of water to the word, a little bit of water to the Holy Spirit of God, changes us, makes us what we ought to be. Yeah. All right, everybody all right? I want you to listen carefully tonight. We're not going to give you nothing new, but we'll give you just some scripture. We've got three sermons to give you after you leave tonight. Be handed to you on paper. And be three quick sermons. I want you all, everybody, make sure you have one before you leave. All right, I'll have men back here at the door handing it to you, so you'll get four sermons tonight. One for me and three on paper to take home with you. All right, vitally important. And you might even get five. We'll just wait and see here, but there'll be four anyway. But I want you to listen carefully. And I don't know how loud we'll be. Don't know how. We're not going to try to be very long at all, but we want to be very plain with the scripture. We'll let the word of God speak to our hearts tonight. I don't want to add too much. I don't want to get in the way at all of the word of God this evening. I want us to listen carefully what the word speaks to us. And I want everybody to know tonight that you are important. You got to know that you're important. You got to know that you are a vital part because you are part of the body of Christ. All right, now that makes you important. Now, do we have flaws? Jerry Rush didn't explain to us. Yeah, we got flaws. And we're a bunch of broken pieces made by mercy and grace, and that's all right. But let me tell you, though he's working me and molding me, okay, when he put that clay on the wheel, it was a new hunk. He didn't go dig up old clay. He got a new hunk of clay and put on there, and he started molding me. I got a new life in Christ. I don't want us to forget that. We got a new life in Christ, and we can be what this Bible says. Don't let the devil deceive you, or don't let no one else discourage you. We do have flaws, and sometimes we've got to look at our flaws. We've got to see that. We've got to see where we're wrong. We've got to see these things. But can I tell you tonight that in all that we are, the Lord is in us, and he'll help us be what we're supposed to be. But we got to submit. I believe that might be some of the problems that we do have is submission, obedience. Brother Rick said something this morning that I cannot get out of my mind about obedience. And he said delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And I want to be ready to obey the first time, he says, the first time that I see it, the first time the Spirit of God speaks to me. I want to be obedient. I don't want to have delayed obedience, which becomes disobedience. I want to be obedient to the Lord. But that has worn me out this morning. I enjoyed the whole lesson, but that really spoke to my mind and my heart today. All right, everybody all right? We're going to look at the scripture. Get your Bibles ready. And get ready, Jeremy. We're going to look at some scripture tonight. Everybody okay? Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you're wonderful. There's no doubt about that. I've thought about your mercy and grace as they sung that song, the broken pieces. The mistakes I've made, the failures that I've had, the times that I don't even know how to explain. Lord, you know my mind, my heart, and Lord, how I need you. I don't claim to be nothing, but I do claim you to be everything, and I believe that with all my mind and my heart tonight. Use me as you see fit. Cleanse me. The rough edges that's there, Lord, I'm waiting on you to remove them all so I'll fit in the place you have for me there where you're at. And Lord, until then, help me to be a light. Help me to be salt. Help me to be a witness. Help me to be a help, not a hurt. Oh, God, help me not to be a hindrance to anyone. Help me only to be a help. And I will thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. And amen. Let's look at some scripture. Now, look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy. We're just going to preach on the church again tonight, the body of Christ. And I don't have no big outline. I don't have no alliterated. Nothing is the same letter or the same number. We're just going to look at some scripture, and we're going to look at us tonight. We're going to look at us, and I want to encourage you I want to encourage you the best I can this evening as the body of Christ, okay? I want to encourage you. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, now remember now, Paul's writing to Timothy, a young preacher, young pastor, but he's just a young man. But he's wanting him to pass this along. He said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And when we speak of the church, you understand that we're speaking of the body of Christ. We're speaking of the body of Christ. Now, I don't want us ever to think of the church. It's not a building. It's not an organization, but it's an organism. It's us. We are part of the body of Christ. Okay? Everybody still with me? Look over in Psalms 133. Psalms 133 and verse 1. These are verses that we've been using, and we'll just continue till the Lord says different. Psalms 133 verse 1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And notice the exclamation point at the end of that. That it's not even to be read haphazardly hum and drum. But behold. And this is an exclamatory sentence. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Think about that. It's such an important verse. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And look at verse 19. It says, verse 16 tells us that there's the six things that doth the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination. Verse 19 says, a false witness speaking lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We want you to understand we're speaking about unity. And we need to remember that we're one body. We're one body tonight. That's what we've been preaching this for several weeks. And we are one body. All right. Now we're called his bride. You know, when you speak of the bride, you speak of unity. What is the one thing that we always tell married couples, and what the preachers or whoever has married you told you, that you're becoming one. Is that true? When someone is married, they become one. That's unity. Becoming one. They're not two. It's two lives becoming one. When me and Cheryl got married, of course, she took my name. Okay? But we become one person. We become one. Now, even though we're still two individuals, we still becoming one. That's unity. When we become one, that's unity. And we got to remember that we're one body. We're one body. We're one body. Say it with me. We are one body. Say it with me again. We are one body. Say it again. We are one body. Now, I don't care whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, Episcopalian. I don't care where you go to church, where you're from. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of one body. And that one body is Christ. It don't matter who you are, where you're from, your background. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of one body, because they ain't but one body. Ain't but one head, and that's Jesus Christ. It ain't but one body, and that's his bride, the church. But we're called his bride. Everybody with me on that? And we're also called, throughout the scripture, we're called his building. All right? His building. Well, the building is fitly framed, fitly joined. We'll even look at that scripture here in a moment. All right? But it speaks of unity. We're called an army, in a sense. We're an army of the Lord. There's references there, comparisons made to that. And an army that is not one is not much of an army. Okay? So we speak of unity. We're the flock of sheep. All right? We're one flock of sheep. All right, now the Bible talks about Jesus speaking there about he is the door of the sheepfold, and he has another flock or another fold. He's separating the Jew and the Gentile there, as far as way everything was. But now there is neither Jew nor Greek. Neither is bond or free. There neither is male nor female. But we're one body, one flock of sheep. Everybody understand? We're one flock of sheep. The Lord don't have 10 flocks. He's got one flock. All right? And there's a lot of sheep in the flock. All right? But we're together. And then his body. That's what we want to dwell on tonight, is his body. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now again, these are scriptures that are very familiar, and but I want us to keep going over them until it gets in us, until we live it. The only way we're going to live what this Bible says is to keep this Bible in us. We're going to have to keep the Word of God in front of us. There's a reason that Moses wrote there that we ought to take the things of God, the law of God, the precepts of God, the ordinances of God, and put them on our forehead, put them on our doors, put them on our frontlets, to tie them around our neck of our children. All of that should be done. Why? Because the Word of God is what's going to keep us in line with God. Without the Word of God, you're not going to live right. Understand that. You're not going to be right without the Word of God. The Word of God is so important in our everyday life. We're not going to be right with God if we don't adhere to the Word of God. But I can't adhere to the Word of God if I don't know the Word of God. All right? And it's that important. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't follow your Bible, try to follow along with your Bible and read your Bible, then you're never hearing from God.
Right. You're right.
You're never hearing from God. You're on your own.
Right.
Now, you pray all you want to, and that's you talking. But His Word is Him talking. And you've got to have Him talking, directing our steps. And the more you get in your Bible, the more you trust your Bible, the more you read your Bible, the more you're going to be like the Bible says.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I've told you about it. Now, this is my desire. I've not done this yet. But my desire, I would love to be able to read, and I know people that's done it, I would like to be able to read my Bible through every month. All right? Everybody knows preacher David Gibbs. For years, David Gibbs read his Bible through every month. Well, if you listen to him talk, you can tell it because he talks like Alexander Scorby reading the Bible. That's the way he talks. All right? I mean, his speech has changed. His everything about him's changed because of that much Bible getting in him. And you can read the Bible in a month because there's not but 40-some hours in it anyway. All right, so we can read it through a month if we would. All right, so it is possible. All right, everybody with me? That's another story, but anyway, I just want you to think about that. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, can we? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to look at something. We're going to dwell then in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, but we want to look here at Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 1, Paul is writing to a church. Now, remember, he's writing to part of the body in Ephesus. All right? The congregation of a body. A congregation of the body. All right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. And look at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep, and I mentioned this 3 weeks ago, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We don't produce unity. We preserve unity. Because it says endeavoring to keep the unity. This is for us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That would be so wonderful if we would get to where we could do that, that we preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right? That's so important. But look here at verse 4 now. It says, there is one body. How many bodies?
One.
There is one body. How many bodies is that?
One.
There is one body. How many bodies is that? At just one. There is one body. How many bodies is one? One. There's only one body. Does everybody understand that?
Yep.
Every believer is part of what?
One
body. You know how come? Because there is
one
body. All right, so there's only one body. Now, it don't matter who it is. Don't matter where they're from. It don't matter what time of the centuries, okay? When the church began and the body of Christ, which is the bride of Christ, which is the sheep of his flock, which is the building, all that together, okay? The church, all that come together. It don't matter if it was 1810, if it was 1603, if it was 1501. It don't matter what year it was. All right, we're part of one body. Everybody understanding you? How come we're part of one body? Because it says in verse 4, there is what? One body. And then there's one Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Now that Spirit there is capitalized, so that's meaning it's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. If it had been demons or the other devils, it would have had a little S. But this is a big S, so it's talking about the Spirit of God. There's only one. Can I tell you that the same Spirit that resides in my heart is the same Spirit that resides in your heart? Is because, you know why? Because there's not but one Spirit. Is everybody with me? The same Spirit that resides in me, the same Spirit that wrote this Bible, is the same Spirit that lives in my heart. It's the same Spirit that lives in your heart. It's the same Spirit that directs us. But you know how come I know that? Because it says here, there's one body and there's what? There's only one Spirit. Okay? Everybody understand it? We're talking about unity. We're talking about one. Being one. Alright? And then it says, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. We all have the same hope. Everybody look at me tonight. What is your biggest hope? What is your biggest hope?
Face to face with Christ.
That's it. Face to face. Can I tell you, it's the same hope. For every believer, it's the same hope. The same blessed hope is being with Christ. That's the only hope we have. There's one faith. We'll see that in a minute. It says there's one body, one Spirit, and one hope of our calling. All right? Everybody still with me? Then look at verse 5. And there's one Lord. You know how many lords there are?
Name but one.
And that is Jesus Christ. He's still Lord. Can I tell you, he's always been Lord. He always will be Lord. He's number one. He's one. I like the oneness here because we got to maintain that oneness. We got to preserve the oneness in the body. Is everybody with me? There is one body. How many bodies are there? One by there's one Spirit. How many spirits are there?
One.
And how many hopes are they of our calling? We're called into one hope, the return of the Lord Jesus, if you would. One. And how many lords are there? Now, we try to make other things lords, but they ain't but one Lord. We try to make other things first place, but they're not. They're not. There's only one. There's one main one, and he's Jesus Christ. And then there's one faith. Now, that one faith is not our profession of faith. That one faith is what Jude said when he said that we contend for the faith. The faith. The faith. It's the Word of God. There's not but one Word of God. Everybody hear me? There's not but one Word of God. And that's this one faith that this is talking about. Everybody still with me? Alright? One faith, it says one Lord, one faith is the Word of God and one baptism. Now that's not immersion, that's not sprinkling, no, it's baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we are saved, we are all baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit of God, because there's one Spirit and there's one Lord and there's one faith, the Word of God, being born again, not by corruptible seed, by incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Everybody still with me?
Yeah.
All right? And there's only one. There's only one. All right? One baptism, which is when we get saved, everybody's the same. Look at me. Everybody's the same. Everybody's an equal sinner. There's no big sinners or little. Everybody's an equal sinner. Everybody's equally lost. There's nobody more lost than the other. And everybody gets equally saved. They get the same amount of salvation. They get the same eternal life. They get the same new life in Christ because they ain't but one. They ain't but one. Now, regardless of how we separate and put anybody on levels, it don't matter. We're one. And we're one body. There's one body. You know how come I know there's one body? Because it says there's but one body. You know how come I know there's but one Spirit? Because that's what it says. See, all these things are one. Now look at verse 6. And there's one God. And Father of all, who is above all and through all. And what's that last one say?
In you all.
The same one God is in you all.
Yeah.
Everything that's in us is the same.
Right.
Yep.
Now, we have different gifts.
Yeah.
We can get in that and do things. But all of that is for my body.
Right.
All them gifts are for the body. The gifts are not for the world. These gifts are for the body. Everybody okay with that? All the parts of my body are for my body. Is everybody okay with me on that? Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Now everybody all right with one? You know how come it's one? Because we're sheep. And sheep ain't very smart. And so he made it, we'll just figure on one, that way everybody can take care of one. Right? Everybody can add one.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, everybody can add one. Everybody can multiply one.
Yeah.
One. One's easy to work with. All right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now. All right? And we're just going to give you some simple truths here, and we're going to look at this, and I want you just to see how important you are. That everybody is vital. Everybody is vital.
Yeah.
You may not feel vital. You may feel like you're worthless, but you're not worthless. You're unworthy. Everybody listen to me. You're unworthy, but no one here is worthless. Every one of us is unworthy. None of us deserve anything we have, but no one is worthless. You know how come I know? Because God purchased us with His blood. The greatest price that's ever been paid. And He would not purchase that for something that was worthless. Right? We're not worthless. We may be unworthy, but we're not worthless. All right? And I want you to see your importance. Your importance in the body, your place in the body. The need that we have, one for another, is so important. And this thing, we're coming up to youth camp, and we always stress these things, but this is we've been teaching this before youth camp even, we started getting ready for youth camp, preaching on the church. We need this every day. We need this every hour that we're together in this thing, okay? Now let's look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 12. For as the body is what? How come I know that? Well, it said there a while ago, there's one body. So here it says that, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Well, that's so simple. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's what we just told you in Ephesians. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. It's many members, but one body. All right? All right? Can I tell you, we've got a lot of the body that's shut in, but they're still part of the body. We got a lot of the body that's sick. It's diseased, but they're still part of the body, right? We got some of the body is weak. That's not just this little local part of the body, this congregation of the body, but bodies all over the world, all right, is groaning. The body all over the world is groaning for the coming of Christ, all over. And there are parts of the body that are lacking. Listen, there's a lot of things lacking in me, but I'm just part of the body. But there's not nothing lacking in the head. Okay, there's nothing lacking in the head, but there is weaknesses in the body. Everybody understand that? Now I want you to be encouraged. Because you think, now I know there's times I'm hard. I know there's times that I come across rough, and some of the scripture can't tell you that the scripture is tough.
Yeah.
The Word of God is tough. It's narrow. You read the Bible the way it's written, it's narrow.
Yeah, it is.
And we say, what's the use? Well, we can't do it. That's why we got to have Christ. That's why it's Christ in us and He's our life. So I don't want you to get discouraged about living this Christian life. I don't want you to be discouraged about your failures. Listen, we are going to fail. We ought to be learning to fail less, but we are going to fail. We are going to make bad choices. We should be learning not to make bad choices, but there's still going to be some to make. We're going to do things wrong. We should be learning not to do as many things wrong, but we're still going to do things wrong because we are imperfect in this life and we fight this flesh, but what's in me is greater than anything else, and I'm part of the body and we're in this together, and instead of me cutting the body off, that I work on my part of the body. Okay? Now look here at verse 13 again. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, we know the comparison here that Paul writes in. He's trying to give us the analogy, explain to us what the body is. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course. Of course it's part of the body. But because we're different. We're different. Everybody understand that? We're different. And we've got to look at it in this respect. All right? Now, who do you see when you look at me? Who do you see? You see Mark D. Seacrest. That's who you see. Now, how do you see me? Why? How do you know it's me? Because my body.
Right.
Mark D. Seacrest is manifested to you because of this body. There ain't but one. There's some similarities. There's some similar, but there's not but one. Are you with me? But all you know about Mark D. Seacrest, you know by this body. Are you following me? All that you know about Mark D. Seacrest, you know by the manifestation of this body. We are the body of Christ. All the world will ever know about Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the body. Because we are the visible, listen to me now, we are the visible part of Jesus Christ. He's invisible. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. I can't see him. But we are his body. He's the head. And we are the visible part of an invisible Jesus, if you want to put it like that. And he's in us as our life. And what the world sees when they look for Jesus is not a man on a cross because he ain't there. Are you hearing me? He's not on the cross. That's a done deal. He's seated at the right hand of God. So what he sees is the manifestation of his body. He sees me and you. Of one body. Are we okay? Are you following me? I'm not trying to get deep. I just want you to see the simplicity of it. Now, we're all different. But wait a minute. My left hand don't look like my right hand. It's opposite. But it's still part of the body. I know people's got one eye one color, one eye another color. You know? I don't know. That's really not normal. But, you know? And there's some abnormal people in the body. We all know that. But what I want you to understand, there's differences. There's differences. But we're still one body. Now, we need to make sure that when the world sees us as the body of Christ, that the manifestation that is shown is Jesus Christ. Because he is our life. Is everybody following me? Talk to me if you're following me. And tell me, preacher, you lost me. Is everybody with me? Alright, I've just been studying about the body, about the church for weeks, and I want you to think about this. Now, through this body, the visible part of this body, he is our life. You understand that? He is our life. Do you believe that? Look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Simply says this, when Christ, and look at the next phrase. Somebody read it. Who is our life? When Christ, who is our life? Christ is our life. Alright? I'm the body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. Now say that with me. I am the body of Christ. Well, how many bodies are they?
One.
I am the what? I'm the body of Christ. Say it with me. Now listen, you said, well, that's foolish. Keep saying it. No, we need to, I am the body. You are the body. We're the body of one. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And everybody is important. All right. Now we tease Brother Matt back there. All right, we tease Brother Matt because he's an amputee, and he got his fingers ground off in the coal mine. They wasn't cut off; they ground them off. All right, mashed off, and let me ask you something, Matt. Is it harder than it was years ago? Do you have any difficulty with that hand? Why? Because you don't have all your members, but you still function. But wouldn't it function better if you had them other members? You see how necessary a member is? Can I tell you that he never thought much about them fingers until he lost them fingers? Now he was just sitting in the prayer room. He's talking about running a pinner. It's a bowl machine in the coal mines. And he was talking about running. He told the fella, he said, I can run it, but I won't run it on but one certain side because I'm not putting my good hand up or I'll use my bad hand. Why? Because these become so much more important. These are gone. And now these are so much more important because these are gone. Listen, we've got some of the members of the body that ain't here no more and ain't able to be here no more. And they've been, in a sense, cut off. And can I tell you, we can't function as well without them. Huh? And we miss them while they're gone. But we better make sure that we understand how important that we are, as whether they be young people or whether they be old people, that it don't matter, that we're part of one body and everybody's important and we've got to be in this thing together, all the way together, in every way together, we've got to be. Why? Because there's how many bodies?
One.
That's right. There's only one body. And who's a part of the body? Are you a part of the body? If you're not a part of the body, I invite you to come to Christ tonight and let Him baptize you, the Holy Spirit, right into one body. And you won't speak in tongues or none of that, but you'll be baptized into the family of God, into the body of Christ, and become one. And you are as important as anybody.
Yes.
Hmm? Now, I don't do like you ladies. I've seen Cheryl Ann work in the mirror and pull on her eyelashes and put all that stuff on there, and she'll get in there and she'll make her eye. She'll do all that and she'll work on her eyelashes. Why would we care what that eyelash looks like? Any of you guys care what your eyelashes look like? Huh? How many of you ladies care what your eyelashes look like? Huh? You know why? Because it's part of the body and it's important. But I don't think it is. But it don't matter. You know why? Because it is. They're good for something. You know why you got eyelashes? Keep the dirt out of your eyes. Huh? Now all you women, you purdy them up and that's good. Y'all look nice. I'm glad you do it. Huh? Albie Blankenship said, paint on an old barn helps anything. I said, that's what Albie said. I didn't say that. I said, that's what Albie said.
All right? But what I want you to listen to me. What I want you to understand. Who thinks about an eyelash? Do you know them hairs in your ears? You know, when you get older, you know, you lose the hair on your head and they go in your nose and your ears. You know that. That's where it goes. I don't know if you ladies have that problem. That's what happened to the men. It goes off their head and goes in their upper nose and in their ears. But you know why them hairs are in your ears? It may be to keep some of the dirt out, but all them things down in there is to help radiate the vibrations, because when you get older, you can't hear nothing. And then more hair gets in your ears. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. That's why there's more in there to help your hearing. And who thinks about me all the time pulling hair? I go to the barber and he spends time with clippers in my ears. Up my nose and in my ears, much as they does flatten off my head. Huh? But it's important, is what I want you to understand. Every part of the body is important, and you're important. I don't want you to ever get down on yourself and think that you're not important to this body, because there's not but one body. And this local congregation is important, and you are important. And everything you have to offer is important. Yeah. Everything. Are you listening to me? You're vital. Mm-hmm. You're vital. Said in World War II, they had a bombing there in one of the towns, and while they was waiting on things to happen, they was trying to rebuild some things, get some things squared away, help the people in the town clean up, and some of the soldiers was helping. This is what they said now, and I don't know who all was involved, but they was a whole battalion or group there, a bunch of trooper helping, and they was cleaning up the rubble and trying to help this town get lined back out. And there in the churchyard, there was a big statue of Jesus. And them soldiers allowed that would be a good thing for them to work on to get back together. That would be a good gesture, you know. So they started getting everything, and they got mixing up some mortar, and they was putting the parts back on that big statue that had got blown off. And they got it all back together except the hands. There wasn't no hand. And one of the soldiers made a plaque and put on the bottom of the statue. It says, "He has no hands. We are his hands." Huh? Think about that. You know, we're the body. We are the manifestation of the body of Christ. Is everybody getting me tonight? We're more than his hands. We're his mouth, we're his ears, we're his eyes, we're everything. Now, I'm not Christ, don't get me wrong, but there is the body of Christ, Christ the head, and we are an equal part of the body. An equal part of the body. An equal part of the body. And when the Lord bought the body, everybody that believes is equal. Is that not amazing?
Yeah.
Everybody's equal. I ain't no better than you, and you ain't no better than me. Now, I may have different talents and different gifts and all that, but that ain't got nothing to do. I'm still part of what?
One.
And how many bodies are they?
One.
And how many lords are they?
One.
And how many faiths are they?
One.
And how many baptisms are they?
One.
And how many hopes are they?
One.
Ain't but one. And we're one body, but we're many members. But we're many members. Are we still okay? All right. How about Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2. Now, because of this, look what Paul writes to the church of Philippi. All right. We've looked at him. He's wrote to the church of Corinth. He's wrote to the church of Ephesus. He's wrote to the church of Colossae. Now we're going to see what he says to the church of Philippi. And they're how many? They're part of how many bodies?
One.
How many bodies?
One.
How come? How many bodies are they?
One.
They're just one. Okay, look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord and of one mind. Now, it would only make sense that we'd be one accord, one mind, because how many bodies are we?
One.
Now look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Ain't that interesting? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Huh? You know, I watched that exemplified in my home growing up. My mommy, I miss my mommy. She was a sweet mommy. My mommy was raised poor. Well, we was all raised poor. We didn't know it, but we was all raised poor. And I never knowed this till after I was grown up. I wondered why there was times, and y'all know, I'm not a big eater now. I used to be a big eater. I ate everything that wouldn't eat me first. There was no leftovers. It was rare we had left. Beans is probably the only leftovers we ever had, and that's because she always made a big pot. But there was never no meat left over or ears of corn. There was never nothing like that left over. You know, but I always noticed mommy at times there'd be certain things fixed that it all of a sudden she wasn't hungry. There was one piece of chicken left or hamburger patty or something laying there, maybe squirrel or something. And all of a sudden she wasn't hungry. And everybody was eating, but she decided she had enough because others needed it. Her baby needed. Yeah. I've seen her wash and scrub, and Tristan knows this for a fact, until her hands would bleed. She'd wash and scrub till her hands would actually bleed from cleaning the house, scrubbing the floor. She didn't just mop the floor. She got on her hands and knees and scrubbed the floor. Mommy's dirt was clean. Her house was clean. She had the cleanest dirt. I mean that. Right? Are you listening to me? And it was never for her. Right? Now, a lot of people had moms like that. Okay? But what I'm wanting you to understand is she esteemed others. She would do without for others. You know, we're the body of Christ, and we need to learn to do without for others. And we need to learn to give the other the last piece. The last piece of cornbread or the last biscuit. I don't want that milk. You ain't drinking. You understand what I'm saying? That everybody's esteemed better. That everybody's treated like royalty but us. Did Jesus not tell the disciples when you go in a place, you don't go to the high seat, you go to the low seat? Isn't that how he taught it? Well, it didn't matter who else was there. You just find the low seat. That ought to be our mindset because of the body of Christ, because we're one body. And we ought to seek it. And that when things become true humility, when we esteem others better than ourselves, and the pride is taken away. See, when there's strife and vainglory and things in the body, it's because of pride. Okay? You understand that? Now, and we are so judgmental. We're so judgmental. Some of the things I'm going to hand you out tonight that you'll see, we're so judgmental. And you know, the scripture speaks of that. You know, sometimes we think we're it. You know what the disciples said? They said, Lord, look over at them. They're over healing people. They're over doing things in your name. We ought to kill that bunch. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, well, won't you let them alone? They're not against me. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we think, well, Mountain State, we're it. Yeah, we're not. We're not. But can I tell you that somebody over might not be doing it quite like us, but they're not doing it against the Lord. Are we okay? Yep. Well, you know how come? How come? How many bodies are they?
One.
That's good.
Are we understanding?
Yes.
See, they're important too. See, it's not just Mountain State that's important. It's everybody's important. It's everybody. And this is the mindset we got to get in. Now, the only way we're going to get in this mindset is to read this scripture over and over and over. We need to constantly read the epistles. We need to constantly read Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Corinthians and see how we're to conduct ourselves one with another. And then we're to live it. And if we keep reading it and keep it in our mind, then we're going to start acting upon what is in our mind, because we act upon what's in our mind now. See, we watch TV. A lot of people watch TV, and they watch. And what do we watch? Can I tell you? I don't like a Western. I never did like Little House on the Prairie. I never did like Little House on the Prairie. I hated Little House on the Prairie because they never shot nobody. I thought it was a waste of a Western movie that they never shot nobody. Ain't that awful?
Yeah.
I want somebody to get shot, and then I don't want them to get shot and they don't see no hole. I want to see the hole. I'm sorry. I want to see the hole. Huh? Ain't nobody get shot and falls off a cliff and ain't nothing happened. I want to see the scars and the scratches and the bullet hole. Ain't that awful? Members, we didn't say much too much John Wayne.
Yes.
The only thing I hate about John Wayne, nobody ever had no blood unless it was on their mouth. They'd fight for 30 minutes and have one little bit of blood on their mouth. Well, it wasn't like any fights ever I was in. Anyone I was in, I bled all over the place. Do you understand what I'm saying? We look at things so different, and we let them things change our mind and change our feelings, and we watch these sitcoms and all the sarcasm and filth and the things that's against everybody and all this, and it's dog eat dog, and you watch the lawyer shows, and everybody is against one another, and the medical, even in the doctors and the nurses, they don't even get along, and all this stuff, you know, and we fill our mind with that instead of the Word of God, and we don't have no peace in our mind and no peace in the body, and we let that dictate. But if we'll get back to this book and get back to this scripture and read this scripture over and over and over, and it'll start coming out of us as we read it, and we'll live what this Bible says. Listen to me, I'm telling you what will help us. We got to read what this Bible says and live what this Bible says. And it's that new life in Christ that'll help us. Everybody follow me. And listen, the world, I got so aggravated this week. I mean, I actually got in the flesh. I was by myself, and I didn't cuss or nothing, but I got in the flesh, and I went and I seen an advertisement of the Tractor Bar. And I don't know why, but that place just sticks in my craw. It sticks in me. I mean, it just gouges me every time I go through Mount Nebo. The Tractor Bar gouges the life out of me. And praising the Tractor Bar and for the contest and the things they wanting and wanting families to come, having family nights and all. It's the deepest pool of sin in the county. Can I say that we're on live stream? I'm going to say it real loud. And I want Steve Brown to hear it. Listen, the Tractor Bar is the deepest pile of sin in the entire Nicholas County. And you need Jesus.
Amen.
All right? And that's just the simple of it. All right? And the sin that it's causing, purdied up on the outside, and the home just tore up on the inside, and the life that's run on the inside. Can't let that run my life. I can't dwell on that negative. You can't dwell on the negative things of the world. Listen, I'm so sick of Donald Trump and Biden. I'm so sick of that junk. I'm so sick of Congress and Senate. I can't let that run my life. Huh? You can't, because it affects how we deal one with another. It affects us. Listen, we can't hide our head in the sand, but we got to make the main focus this book again and the body. You're more important than anything else tonight. The things of God, are you following me tonight? Now, I'm not saying to go up on a mountain and seclude yourself. That ain't what I'm saying. But I am saying what Brother Rick taught this morning. When Dinah, Jacob's daughter, went down there to see the daughters in the city, we better stay away from that. We better stay away from being like the world. Huh? And the way I can stay away from this world, the Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And I can't take that out of the book. Huh? It's in there. And that's what it means. But these things dictate how we feel and things that comes in our emotion. And what I need to be is building you up and picking you up and esteeming you higher than me. And giving you the last instead of me taking the last. And giving you I always think of what Carol Blankenship does for Alvy. I heard Alvy preach it many times. Yeah. You know, everybody loves a tomato sandwich. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody that maybe got a mind that don't like a good tomato mayonnaise sandwich. I mean, that's good eating. I know some people don't like it, but I mean, that's good eating. But he said he never eat a tomato that it was the either end. And Carol always gives him the middle slice.
Yeah.
Every time I slice a tomato for you since he preached that, that's how come you get the middle slice. We've got to be willing to give everybody else the middle slice. You understand? Personally, I like a heel of bread. I'd rather have the heel as the middle. But most people like the middle. I need to be willing to sacrifice the middle and eat the heel. You understand what I'm saying? We need to get this. And listen, it's not going to happen if we don't get this book in our mind to where it comes natural. That you're better than me. That you deserve more than me. That you're greater than me. You can do it better than me. How can I serve you? I don't want to serve today. How can I serve you? Did not Jesus himself say, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister? Huh? Is that not what he said? I want to understand, listen, we're that part of the body. Are we still okay? Can you give me just a minute? I know everybody's tired. I know that. I'm tired too. I've been here all day too. Ephesians chapter 2. Can we look there real quick? Is everybody okay with me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to encourage you. I'm hoping I'm encouraging you. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 21. Hey, Nancy, we got to go back up to 20. We can't just read verse 21. Verse 20. Nancy teased me one time. I go back and read. One verse ain't enough, see? Let's just read 19 too. Oh, come on. All right. Ephesians 2, let's look at 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now look what it says in verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We're all fitly framed together. Okay. Now look at chapter 4 verse 16. Chapter 4 verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Is that not some wonderful scripture? That's us. That's us. I want you to see your importance. You know that you give me food. I'm to give you food. You know that being part of the body is giving and receiving. Right. Okay? I got a list here I'm not going to go over tonight. I will maybe sometime. But I got here. I've been looking at the body. And so I looked up some stuff. And I'd have to get Trista to explain some of these words. I can't say them. But it's the system, the different system. And I think I got here, I think there's 11 of them. There's 11 systems in the body, like the skeletal system and the muscular system and the digestive system. Everybody understands that, all right? As the, you know, as part of your body. You know that everybody's got a skeletal system. You know everybody's got a muscular system. Everybody's got a digestive system, circulatory system. But you know all of that works together. You know every bit of it runs together. You know there are some muscles that's involuntary. They just move automatic. But you don't have to move them. You know I never make my heart beat. Never do. You know I never make my food digest. I never make the blood run through my veins. It just automatically does it. It works like it's supposed to. And all of us work together. Can I tell you, if you take all of them systems, and I've got spiritual applications for all of them, and I'll give it to you in another message sometime. But all these things work together for one body. For one body. Are you with me? You know, I ain't never seen my pancreas. It's in there. It's in there. You know, if I didn't have it, I'd be near death. In fact, if I didn't have it at all, I wouldn't be here at all. Right? But I ain't never seen it. You ever seen your pancreas? Anybody here ever seen their pancreas? I don't even know what it looks like. Yeah? Anybody here know what it looks like? I don't know what it looks like. I don't know if it's red, black, bling, blue, yellow. I don't know if it's round, square, triangle. I don't know. I don't know if it's big or little. I don't have no clue. I have no clue. But can I tell you, you can't do it without it? You know, there's part of the body that I ain't never saw. You know, I can't do it without it. You know, there's some of y'all that are as unseen in a sense. Nobody pays no mind. You just exist. But can I tell you, we can't do it without you.
That's right, man.
We can't do it without you. You're that important.
Yeah.
You're that important. Think about that. Think about that. I've never seen my spleen. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that go without their spleen, but you know that they always have a problem with their immune system. If I'm correct, if you lose your spleen, you have problems. Is that true? You have a problem with your immune system? Well, that immune system keeps sickness out. Can I tell you, the spleen is so important that without it, you'll get sick. Can I tell you that there's some parts of the body so important that without them, we just get sick. I want you to know you're important tonight. You're important. You say, well, nobody even knows my name. Yeah, we do. If we don't, the head does. See, the head knows. The head knows every part of the body. Huh? You know, when I had my stroke, the big stroke, they told me, the doctor said, you realize that you had a stroke, the best place you could have one. I said, well, how's that? He said, well, you didn't have a clot, your artery collapsed. He said, and it collapsed in a dead-end artery. I said, well, if it's in my head, I understand that. He said, you got some arteries that flow plumb through, and you got some, it's like a dead end street. He said, you had yours on a dead end street. Do you know that even though I get around good, you know, because part of that dead end street that may not be important, it has rendered me weak. Can I tell you, you're so important that even those who think they're nothing but a dead-end street is important because the body is weak without it. Everybody's important. Father, help us to be one. Help us to understand we're one body. We need to be one mind and one accord working together because everyone is important. In Jesus' name, amen.